Well, good morning. It's lovely to be here again. Thank you for your welcome. And thank you, Matt, for encouraging us in our worship. It's a great theme we've been experiencing so far this morning already, the love of God, the love of the Lord Jesus. And we'll reflect a little bit on that this morning as well, because as Matt said, it's so amazing, God's love for us. I think the last couple of times I've been, Matt has been leading, which is really beneficial for me because he tells some great stories for the younger ones that I can then borrow and adapt when I have to do our church service. However, if in order to do this one truthfully, I have to walk 13 miles in those conditions, I think your story today is pretty safe from me borrowing. But great all the same, and again, really applicable to the passage that we've got this morning from 2 Chronicles, all about, as I've been studying it, really came to me, the kind of key message really coming through it is about determination, determining to live for God or determining to follow God, to walk in God's paths. And we'll read from 2 Chronicles 34, page 468, if you have a church Bible. And we're going to read the first 13 verses of that chapter. And you'll have to forgive me, there are some interesting names in here that crop up, as they do in the Old Testament. So I'll give it my best stab, but if there's any Greek or Hebrew scholars here, I'll apologize in advance for butchering what probably should be the pronunciation. Okay, so 2 Chronicles 34 verse 1 says, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 31 years. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. In the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. In his 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of high places, Asherah poles, carved idols, and cast images. Under his direction, the altars of the Baals were torn down. He cut to pieces the incense altars that were above them, and smashed the Asherah poles, the idols, and the images. These he broke to pieces and scattered over the graves of those who had sacrificed to them. He burnt the bones of the priests on their altars, and so he purged Judah and Jerusalem. In the towns of Manasseh, Ephraim, and Simeon, as far as Naphtali, and in the ruins around them, he tore down the altars and the Asherah poles and crushed the idols to powder and cut to pieces all the incense altars throughout Jerusalem. He then went back to Jerusalem. In the 18th year of Josiah's reign, to purify the land and the temple, he sent Shaphan, son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the ruler of the city, with Johar, son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the temple of the Lord his God. They went to Hilkiah, the high priest, and gave him the money that had been brought to the temple of God, which the Levites who were the doorkeepers had collected from the people of Manasseh, Ephraim, and the entire remnant of Israel, and from all the people of Judah and Benjamin and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Then they entrusted it to the men appointed to supervise the work on the Lord's temple. These men paid the workers who repaired and restored the temple. They also gave money to the carpenters and builders to purchase dressed stone and timber for joists and beams for the buildings that the kings of Judah had allowed to fall into ruin. The men did the work faithfully. Over them to direct them were Jahath and Obadiah, Levites descended from Meraiah, and Zechariah and Meshulam, descendants from Kohath. The Levites, all who were skilled in playing musical instruments, had charge of the laborers and supervised all the workers from job to job. Some of the Levites were secretaries, scribes, and doorkeepers. And we'll stop there for this morning. May God bless a reading of his word to us and help us now as we come to look at it together. Just as we do that, let me just pray for us again as we open God's word now this morning. Heavenly Father, Holy God, we thank you again for this time we can spend here this morning, just now reading your word and considering the things that are written there. And Lord, I ask your help that this morning you will help each of us to take the message you have for us, that you want us to know, away with us this morning. Please speak through your spirit to us today, I pray. And as you do so, Lord, just please glorify your name above anything else this morning. I thank you. Amen. Now, I went to the dentist a few months ago. Not my favourite place to go by any means. It must be said, I don't very often wake up thinking, fantastic, the 6-month wait for my checkup is over. I can go and get that done this morning. But I do appreciate dentists, because when we're in need, when we have pain, they are great people to know. But I was in the dentist having my checkup done, and as is the usual position, you kind of lay back in the chair with your mouth wide open and various things stuck in it, trying to answer questions that the dentist is asking you. I'm sure they must do that for fun, really, just to see how people cope. But as I was sitting there, I could feel his little probe tapping away on my teeth, and tapping quite happily, and I was sitting there quite happily until all of a sudden the probe sunk a bit deeper than it should have done, and I kind of knew that that was the case. And the dentist said, you've got a problem and you need to do something about it before it's too late. And then I've got a choice to make. My choice is I take the dentist at his word and get and do something about it, have a filling done before I end up with raging toothache, or I can choose to ignore it and just go my own way. And, you know, I personally chose to get the work done. I've had toothache before. It's not very pleasant. I wanted to heed that warning. And I was thinking about that this morning as I was thinking about the Bible and about the Bible and how it confronts us with problems that we have. And the Bible confronts us with this problem of sin. Confronts us with this problem that we are from birth separated from the holy and loving God who loves us so much but cannot stand sin. And just like the dentist and the warning, the Bible confronts us and warns us about this and says we've got to do something about it. It says we've got to make a decision. We can either choose to ignore our sin or we can acknowledge it and get it dealt with. And the wonderful thing is, if we acknowledge it, if we acknowledge our sin, if we acknowledge that there's a problem between us and God, then the Bible says there's a way of dealing with it, and that way is Jesus Christ. And Matt's already read some of the lovely verses that describe what Jesus has done for us. How he came into this world, how he hung on a cross and took the punishment for the sins of everybody else and paid them in full. Hanging on a cross must have been torturous. Getting to the point of the cross for him over the hours that preceded it were torturous. And yet, as Matt reminded us, he could still look to the thief on the cross and welcome him into paradise and look to save that man. So interested in he was in everybody else was he. And you know, the link with this morning is about coming to God and living our lives for God. God wants each and every one of us to be right with him and to live our lives for him. And he wants each and every one of us to walk with him in this life. He wants a relationship, a personal relationship with us. And this is one of the key things that comes out of the passage we read this morning about Josiah. Now, I've got a PowerPoint that I put together. Those who have seen my PowerPoints before will know I'm not the most creative of persons, and I did this one quite late as well, where even my limited creativity was ebbing. So I'm afraid there's nothing spectacular or special, but hopefully it will help us just be able to focus in on a few of the key verses and the key points made. Do I need to do anything other than push that button, do you think? Try again. Ah, there we go. Okay, just as a title side, connecting to God through his word. So we read verses today about the story of a king in Judah, a king called Josiah. And he reigned for 32 years, we're told, or 31 years, sorry, between 640 and 609 BC. And he is considered to be one of the most godly human kings that Judah or Israel ever had. And I hope that came across as we read those verses about him this morning. But he became king when, spiritually speaking, times had never been darker for Judah. Their sins against God were pretty awful, as if you've been coming and going through Chronicles, you'd have read in the run-up to this. They were probably worse even than the pagan nations that lived around Judah and Jerusalem and Israel. And yet, Judah, Jerusalem, Israel were the ones who were meant to be God's witnesses to the rest of the world. They were meant to show what it's like to live for God and how God blesses greatly those who do, in order to attract all other people around them and in the world to come to God and want to come to him for his mercy and to serve him and to realize that being right with God is a great thing to have, not in any way a hindrance. And yet what had happened is that Judah and Israel over time had actually gone the other way and had started interacting with their worship of God a lot of worldly and pagan practices. We read about idolatry there. And even the priests of Judah were worshipping idols and serving idols from the false gods around them. They were carrying out all sorts of strange and weird things and sexual perversions even in their temples, calling it worship, calling it their religion, as they sought really pleasure for themselves. They created altars and idols on the roofs of their houses, in the high places, so they could worship the stars and sacrifice to the stars. And they'd even copied some of the most awful of pagan rituals, like worshipping the pagan god Moloch, which involved child sacrifice even, in quite awful ways. And this is how it was in Judah when Josiah came to the throne. And you know, although we don't do similar things like that in our country today, I'm sure if you ask most people, they would read those words and consider us far too sophisticated to be able to fall to such sin. Actually, spiritually speaking, our society today is in general as far away from God and drifting from him as probably the people back then were, if not more. Lots of people in our world today live as if God doesn't exist and has nothing to do with them. They live as if Jesus never came and never went through what he did for them. And they live that at their peril if they don't sort that out. And that's why the witnesses of God in this land are so important. Instead of seeking after God and God's will, people these days, as they did in Josiah's days, tend to seek after their own pleasure and for their own purpose and reason for living. So this morning, what I would like us to do is just to look at Josiah just briefly and see how it can be so much different. How God can use willing people to reach out to others, whatever the circumstances we're in. Sometimes we may think people almost seem unreachable these days because there's no interest in God whatsoever and things are generally so much easier in a society like ours. And yet God can reach through anybody at any time if we're willing to be worked through him. So we mustn't be put off by what we see around us, but we must be driven more and more to the worship of God and living our lives for him. This is what Josiah did. And the first thing we read in 2 Chronicles about Josiah is he suddenly found himself becoming king of Judah when he was only 8 years old. I don't know about you, but when I was 8 years old, I can pretty much say I wouldn't have been ready to be king of anything, I don't think. And I've got a lovely girl who's nearly 8 years old, and I'm not entirely sure she would fit the role of queen or prime minister of the country yet. And you know, I suspect Josiah didn't either, if truth be known. And I suspect that in those early days, he was very influenced by the people around him. But Josiah, in the grace of God, was influenced by really good and godly people, it seems. People who were able to help him make good decisions in the early parts of his life. And you know, we shouldn't underestimate the importance of good Christian friendship and fellowship. It's an important part of the Christian walk to have and know Christian friends who can help us to be a good Christian friend, to help others. The writer of Hebrews encourages us in this way as well in the New Testament. He says these in Hebrews chapter 10, these words here. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And that's a really important part of the Christian walk, to help and encourage each other, to spur one another on. There are many ways we can do this, I'm sure. We can lead by example in the ways we live our lives and the things we do and say. We can seek to encourage people, to put an arm around people, to build them up, to help them want to grow as Christians, to help them want to develop godly lives because of what the Bible says. We can share verses with each other, share with each other what God has done for us, the encouragements God has given us. We can do that. Maybe text people during the day instead of how's the weather or what you're doing. Text a good verse. Four of you read this verse. Be encouraged by it. There are lots that we can do to help and encourage people. And it's so important that we have good Christian friendship and fellowship, as the writer of Hebrews tells us. And if you look at today's verses, like I said, I think there are a few people there who are probably very instrumental in shaping Josiah and the decisions he made in the early few years of his life. People like Shaphan the Levite, or Maaseiah, the ruler of the city, or Johar, the recorder, and Hilkiah, who was serving as high priest at the time. And Josiah certainly knew how to pick friends with good names, didn't he? It would have been an interesting time trying to write their birthday cards, I think. And but these men, these were highly respected men, and these were leaders in their field. And I believe they made it their very mission to help young Josiah realize his potential and his purpose in life. And the indications are that they succeeded very well in doing that. If you were to look at 2 Kings, chapter 23, you get a parallel story of Josiah's life. And in 2 Kings 23, we read this summary. Neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did. With all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his strength, in accordance with the law of Moses. And those who know the New Testament remember Jesus' teaching. Remember, he said something similar to people. To look and to seek the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength. This is what Josiah was remembered for in Judah. And it says, neither before nor after was there a king like him. Now, you'd think from that verse then that he grew up and must have grown up in a pretty good Christian family, or godly family back then, that would have encouraged him to seek God right from an early age. And possibly that might be the case for his mother. We're not told anything about his mother. But, you know, Josiah's grandfather, Manasseh, had been the most wicked king in Judah's history, pretty much. plunging the nation into terrible sin. And even though he repented late on, eventually in his life, he couldn't stop what he had started. And when his son Amon, who was Josiah's father, even though in those verses it talks about David being Josiah's father, that means his forefather, if you like, his descendant way back, that's how the Hebrew works. Josiah's actual father was a man called Amon, and he became king of Judah, and he carried on the awful things that his father had done. He reestablished all the pagan practices of his father's earlier years. And according to 2 Chronicles 33, Amon, who became king when he was 22 years old, never turned to God. And so the writer of 2 Chronicles tells us that he did evil in the eyes of the Lord as his father Manasseh had done. Amon worshipped and offered sacrifices to all the idols Manasseh had made. But unlike his father, he did not humble himself before the Lord. Amon increased his guilt. And only 2 years after becoming king, Amon's own men conspired against him, murdered him in his house, and then tried to seize power. But their seizing of power was interrupted by the people of Judah, and Josiah, at the age of 8, had inherited the throne as the rightful heir. But when it came to living his life and his relationship with God, Josiah was the complete opposite to his father and his grandfather. What was it then that made Josiah different? Well, I think there are 3 key things highlighted in our passage today that we'll quickly look at as we come to a close. 3 things that Josiah did that we need to do as well if we too are to walk and determine to follow God. And 3 things that will help us as Christians if we truly want to live our lives for God. The first of these is found in verse 2. Verse 2 of chapter 34, we read, "He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord." So Josiah determined to live a life based on God's rules and God's standards. And the decisions he made were based on what he believed would be right in God's eyes. He didn't then let worry about what other people might think or how they may react get in his way of the decisions he made. Instead, he sought to do what was right in God's eyes. He was much more concerned about what God thought than about what others thought. And some of the things that Josiah did that were right in the eyes of God, according to verses 4 and 5, were to get rid of all of the altars of the Baals and others. He made sure as well they couldn't be rebuilt again, at least very easily. He had them ground down to powder. And he had all the idols and all the images destroyed. He purged his land of evil practice. So where some of the previous kings had maybe gone a little way to doing that, Josiah purged Judah of idolatry completely. And Josiah understood that dealing with sin isn't just about destroying stuff, it's about building up things as well. And so in verse 8 it says, in the 18th year of Josiah's reign, to purify the land and the temple, he sent Shaphan, son of Azaliah, and Messiah, the ruler of the city, with Joah, son of Johad, the recorder, to repair the temple of the Lord his God. So as well as removing all traces of idolatry from Judah and Jerusalem, he also set about replacing it by restoring the temple of God to the rightful place in the lives of God's people. So Josiah was serious about removing sin from the land of Judah. And that's a lesson for us if we want to follow God and walk closely with him. We have to be serious about wanting to purge sin from our lives where we find it that affects the way we walk with God. We need to be serious as well about our relationship with God and replace the bad things we do with God and following him. And purging sin is, and living for God is not simply trying to do what's right. It's about submitting ourselves to God and seeking a personal relationship with him. This is what Josiah was aiming to do in his life. The first thing then we're told about Josiah is he sought to do what was right in God's eyes. The second thing is found in verse 3. In the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, so he'd have been 15 or 16, he began to seek the God of his father. So not only did he try to do what was right, he also sought after God. I met a man the other day who was got talking to. I was on a Gideon's type event, and so we offered this man a Bible. And he said he didn't want one, but he said he was spiritual, and he said that he did try as best he could to keep the Ten Commandments. I think he said that probably to try and get rid of us, really, if I'm honest. Although that said, he'd also said he didn't believe in God, which suggests that the first four commandments would be a bit difficult to keep, but that's kind of where he was. But his view was that he would just try his best, if there was a God, to please him. But you know, the Bible says that we can't do that. We can't live a life that is pleasing enough to God because of sin. But the Bible says what we can do is seek after God and seek a relationship with him through Jesus Christ. Josiah did these things. He sought after God and looked to build his relationship with God. And notice as well, he started while he was still young, it says. You know, we're not too young at any age to start looking at a relationship with God. Nor should we think that youngsters are too young for this. It is good to encourage if your parents or grandparents or Sunday school teachers or youth workers encourage young people today to seek after God with their lives. They're not too young to do this. God says, and still does, call everyone to him. It is a good work to do, to encourage children to want to seek after God and seek his will for their lives. But as well as doing what was right in God's eyes and seeking after God, the third thing we get from Josiah is that he determined to live for God. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, verse 2 told us. He walked in the ways of his father, his ancestor David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. In other words, Josiah was determined to live his life for God. He wasn't wishy-washy about it. He realized how important it is, how necessary it is, and so he determined to do it. And his faithfulness to God transcended even that of King David's, who was called a man after God's own heart in the Bible. As we read and saw in that verse from 2 Kings earlier, there was no king who followed God like Josiah did. And seeking God is a lifelong purpose and process. And the Christian life, if correctly lived, is all about walking with God, getting to know him more through his word, the Bible, through time in prayer, seeking to please him by doing what we know he wants us to do and live in the way we want to live. But ultimately, it's having that personal relationship with him, of knowing him as Lord and as Savior. It's not always straightforward. You'll go through difficult times. We're not promised in any way a smooth stretch. In fact, sometimes the opposite, the Bible says, if we seek to serve God in a world that's full of sin. We'll be tempted to turn to the world for a latest wisdom or for how to deal with our problems. And at times we'll be tempted maybe even to give up on the Bible or prayer, or maybe thinking, oh, it just doesn't seem to work. But at times like these, the Bible says we just hold on. Don't doubt that God isn't there. Don't doubt that God has left us. Just hold on tight and determine to follow him, just like Josiah did. I'm sure he would have had some pretty tough times as he took away things that people enjoyed doing, maybe superstitiously thought was necessary in his kingdom. But Josiah knew what was right, and he did that. Sometimes we won't be maybe popular because of the fact that we follow Jesus or we believe the Bible and what the Bible teaches. But we should always seek to reach others in love, but to stay firm for God. The renewing of our minds through the Bible isn't a quick fix. If we've got to persist with it, we've got to run the race, Paul says, with determination that is set before us. Determination to live for God is what set Josiah apart from the rest of the kings of Israel and Judah. And this is what God wants from us today. Our time is gone, and they were the three key points, so I'll leave those there and I'll skip the next bit. If ever you think church services go slowly, you should try preaching. It's quite incredible. The clock seems to speed up. But let me just finish, though, by thinking again of Josiah. He was only a boy when he became king. He managed to reign successfully because he determined to seek God and do what was right in God's eyes. This is a secret to life for us that the Bible reveals. To seek God, that relationship with him through Jesus Christ, and to do what's right in God's eyes. There is eternal security in there as well as security in this world. Josiah's tribute was neither before nor after was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did, with all his heart, all his soul, and all his strength. That's something as Christians we should all aspire to. To turn to the Lord and seek him with all our heart, our soul, and with all our strength. So let me finish with just a couple of questions. As we sit here this morning, where are you at with your walk with God today? Are you walking with God in this life? Have you come to Jesus to start that relationship with God? To get forgiveness for sins and the things that have stopped you living with God and for God? Have you done that and given your life to him, become a Christian, and get into a life-saving relationship with God? If you haven't, then that's the first step you need to take. You need to begin seeking God through Jesus in that way. You know, it doesn't matter how old or how young you are. Jesus is calling everybody to submit to him, submit their lives to him. The question for us is, will we do so? The Bible warns us about sin, but the choice is ours. Will we become a Christian, a follower of Jesus, by asking him to forgive us and bring us into a life-saving relationship with eternal God? You know, it's your choice, but remember that giving your life to Jesus is to save it, not to lose it. A lot of people think that completeness and happiness in life are found anywhere except in Jesus, but this isn't right. And I can assure you this isn't the case. If you're willing to trust God and truly give your life over to him and seek after him with all your heart, then you won't ever regret it, not for the whole of eternity. In this life, you will find a purpose that you never thought possible for your life, a God-given purpose that he had for you there. The more you give your life to God, the more he will bless you, and the more you will be pulled to him and realize and enjoy him and enjoy following him. Christians are people who are set free to serve Jesus. Serving him is like having a life jacket, not a straight jacket. It's the best thing you could do with your life. And if you are a Christian here this morning, how is your walk with God? Do you still share Josiah's determination to seek God and live a life that's pleasing to him? Or have you found yourself drifting away at times, maybe feeling a little bit colder towards God than you once did? If so, then God's message this morning is just to repent and turn back to him. Seek him with your whole heart again. God longs to draw wayward Christians back to himself. He longs to stroke the flames of revival in our hearts. And he longs for us to seek him with all our heart so he can bless us in our walk with him. Let's pray, and then I'll hand back to Matt. Lord, I thank you for your word this morning, things that happened so many years ago, and yet how relevant it is for us today. Lord, please help us to understand how amazing, how wonderful it is to seek after you with all our hearts. with all our souls and with all our strength. Thank you for the way Josiah did just that. And Lord, help us as we take away from this morning the things you want us to do, to be able to recall them to mind and to apply them in the way your Holy Spirit wants them to be applied in our lives and in our walk with you. Lord, bless us as we seek these things, I pray. In your name, amen.